Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Do we bring these gifts, these monetary gifts to you, but we also bring ourselves as living sacrifices. We also bring a prayer for healing for Frank Riley. Touch his body. For Waco Porter, touch his body. Be with their family members as they go through these times of illness. We pray that as we lift them up, we offer them to you for your care. Bless now our giving, the sacrifices that we have made. And some have given out of their need. We pray especially for those who have given out of their need. Return back to them fourfold that they have given. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said, amen. And those who are not afraid shouted, hallelujah. You may be seated. And as you're taking your seats, our preacher for the morning is no stranger to us. He is a friend of Second Baptist and has been a friend of Second Baptist for over 25 years and now a staff member here at Second Baptist. Hear ye the man called of God for such a time as this, the Reverend Keith Jackson.
trust him and never doubt. He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. If you trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there.
Truly, we give honor this morning to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to our beloved pastor, Reverend Dr. Robert Jimerson, and to this choir, and to you, my father's children. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I shared this morning at 8 o'clock that this allergy season has been a what I call on again and off again challenge for me, like it has been for a number of you. And these last couple days, it's on again. So if I start coughing, amen, it's not coronavirus. It's seasonal, but y'all pray with me. I might wanna holler once or twice. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter number 6. And as you're turning, I just want you to make note as I was preparing the message, I found I should add one more verse to the reading in addition to what is printed in the text, in the teller. We're going to read verses 11 through 14. But also, if you'll just keep your Bibles open, we'll have to kind of refer back to some of those earlier verses as well. Amen. Judges, the 6th chapter. Beginning at verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And verse 14, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, 'Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?'" Yeah. Amen. Amen. The title this morning is "Prepared for These Times." Amen. As the 6th chapter of Judges begins. The people of Israel have fallen into a familiar condition, defeated due to rebellion. For the book of Judges records a repeated cycle of circumstances. Israel sins. Israel is defeated by an enemy. Israel cries out. Israel is saved. Then the cycle would start all over. In fact, one commentator notes that the book could appropriately be titled The Book of Failure. And so when I began preparing this message, my original intent was to start with an exercise of juxtaposition. I was going to impose this moment right here and right now onto the moment when Gideon was called and see if the two moments fit together. These times and those times. The beginning of this sixth chapter of Judges tells us that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It may seem like we're going to stop and start a lot at first, but it's because I want to really set the scene here. And so it is necessary that we be reminded of depth. The depth of God's love, the depth of God's plan, the depth of God's forgiveness, the depth of God's grace and mercy. Because depth reveals reality. It's the difference between real folk and fake folk. It's the difference between real church and fake church. Real relationship and fake relationship. Not how far out you're willing to go, but how far in. Not how many people know your name, but do you know yourself? When the Bible says the children of Israel, they are being reminded that Israel was a man before it was a nation. They are being reminded that they came from one who wrestled with God and came out changed. And I need to pause right here again and remind us, we are sons and daughters of King. We are sons and daughters of Malcolm. Could I call the roll a little bit? We are sons and daughters of Washington, Booker T, not George. We are sons and daughters of Tubman. We are sons and daughters of Douglas. We are sons and daughters of Turner. We came from somebody. We came from warriors. We came from those who have wrestled with God. I'm talking about depth. Our communities, our neighborhoods, our churches are overrun with petty, with selfishness, with cultural amnesia and spiritual cannibalism. We've forgotten who we are and we're devouring one another's souls because we won't look far enough in to find out who's there. Look at the text. The Bible says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. We're still setting the scene. Now we understand this means they had disobeyed God's commandments. They didn't do what they were commanded to do, and they did what they were commanded not to do. But the real issue is deeper than that. I once worked with a man who followed the company rules to the letter. Never late to the office. Came back from lunch right on the minute every day. Everything was documented just as directed, and couldn't nobody stand him. The customers didn't like him. The co-workers didn't like him. The managers didn't like him because he was cold, unsympathetic, and judgmental, and subsequently unemployed. Clearly, his problem was not his ability to follow instructions. His problem was his attitude was all jacked up. In our text this morning, the evil was deeper than their actions. The evil had to do with their attitude. Their actions revealed their attitude, and their attitude was this: we don't want God. Hey, I'm still doing that juxtaposing thing right here. I'm imposing this moment on that moment and seeing what fits. Even though we came from warriors, we don't want God. Now, we want salvation. We want provision. We want protection. Oh Lord, heal me, feed me, guard me. But do we want his plan? Are we after what God is after? These are the children of Israel. These are the children of the covenant. God made a promise to Abraham: I will make you a great nation and you will be a blessing. I'm trying to help somebody today. If God has healed you, if God has fed you, if God has delivered you, if God has protected you, it is part of his plan, and his plan is that you would be a blessing. If we are healed yet heartless, fed yet unsympathetic, delivered yet judgmental, we are outside of the plan and therefore vulnerable to the enemy. The Bible says God handed them over to the Midianites. The children of Israel had to hide in caves and mountains. When they tried to grow something to eat, the Midianites would come and destroy their fields. And after a while, there was nothing left in Israel. No grain, no sheep, no cattle. And these people who did not want God now cried out to him. God told them, "I delivered you before. Destroyed your enemy right before your eyes. I showed you that I wanted you, but you didn't want me." This same God who sacrificed his only son to deliver us from death and to create for us a brand new life filled with peace and hope, he has shown us that he wanted us, and his people do not want him. His plan is not our pursuit, but instead it has become a nuisance. His plan gets in the way of that which we want. His goal that we would be a blessing to our communities, that we would be a blessing indeed to the whole world, so that his name would be glorified, that is not what we are after. His goal has been supplanted by personal agendas and the pursuit of applause and the struggle for fortune and notoriety. So as we arrive at our text for this message, that moment has become this moment. Those times have become these times. And just as in the days of Gideon, God's people are under attack. And when I refer to God's people, I'm speaking to those whom God has chosen, not the ones we've chosen for him. See, we have a habit of placing the label of God's people upon those who have the ability and willingness to further my own interests. God does not choose people based upon their political affiliation. God does not choose people based upon their voting record. God does not choose people based upon the charities they donate to. God does not choose people based upon their zip code. God does not choose people based upon their arrest record. God does not choose people based upon their level of popularity. God does not choose people based upon their ability to commandeer a microphone.
God does not choose people based upon their religious denomination, what church you go to, how many times you go, what time you go, or if you even go at all. I'm trying to help us today. All throughout God's word, you will discover that God chose people that society has cast aside. Amen. Might not have finished the sixth grade, but God chose him. Might run around like they don't have any home training, but God chose them. Might have wild hair and tight dress, but God chose her. Might not have their own house, but God chose them. Might walk past a church every week and never enter in, but God chose them. And I know somebody don't believe me. I know somebody, you've been in church forever. The doctor delivered you, spanked you on the bottom, and handed you over to the preacher, and you've been in church ever since. And you're not feeling me on this one. But look at the text. The Bible tells us in verse 11 that an angel of the Lord came to Gideon while he was threshing wheat in a wine press to safeguard it from the Midianites. Now, oftentimes when I study a text, sometimes something catches my attention that makes me question its significance. For instance, the story of Gideon could be told and we would understand its impact without ever being told what he was doing when he was called. So why did the writer make sure and include this little detail that he was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites? Matthew Henry notes that Gideon was threshing the wheat in a private, secluded, unsuspecting corner. The angel appears to Gideon and calls him a mighty man of valor while he was hiding. When I say that God often chooses people for himself that society has cast aside and not necessarily the ones who we decide, it is with the understanding that it was never about what you do. It was never about where you are. It was never about your proficiency or your expertise or your connections or your intellect. But it is understanding that God chose you before you ever arrived. God chose Gideon as a warrior before he ever proved it in battle. God chose Samuel as a prophet before he ever spoke a word. God chose David as a king while he was still cleaning up after sheep. God chose Paul as a missionary before he ever left his house. God chose Esther as a queen before anybody knew her name. I'm trying to encourage somebody today. It's your time. While his people were under attack, while his people were under siege, while his people were impoverished, while his people were suffering, while his people were helpless, God called Gideon to come out of the shadows. Oh, somebody, today it's your time. This message is entitled Prepared for These Times. But you need to understand, it's not about you preparing yourself. It's about understanding and acknowledging and trusting that God prepared you. God built you. God purposely placed you for this moment. Well, I'm talking to somebody today because you see it for yourself. You see the cruelty. You see the inequity. You see the unfairness. You see the injustice. You see the suffering. You see the need. You see the hopelessness. You see it. And I want you to look at the text. In verse 12, the angel says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." But notice Gideon's response to the call. When God called Moses, Moses said, "I'm not qualified." When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, "I'm too young." When God called Isaiah, he stepped up and said, "Here I am, send me." But when God calls Gideon, he doesn't say no. He doesn't say yes. But when God calls Gideon, Gideon says, "Where you been?" Amen. It's right there in verse 13. "Oh my Lord," he says, "if you're with us, then why is all this happening to us? You say you're with us, then why are we hiding in caves? If you're with us, then why am I threshing wheat in hiding? If you're with us, then why are we hungry and afraid and hopeless?" Look at what he says. We're still in verse 13. "Where be all his miracles? All my life, all I heard was what God did and how God brought us out of Egypt. Well, where have you been?" Well, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning, because not only have you seen what Gideon saw, you feel what Gideon felt, and he was ticked off. Amen. I wanted to say it a different way, but we in church. And just like Gideon, you're asking, if God is supposed to be with us, then why? And you're not even asking for yourself, you're asking for your people. If God is with us, then why are our children dying in the streets? If God is with us, then why do we have to move our children from school to school in search of a decent education? If God is with us, then why are my parents and grandparents choosing between medicine and dinner? If God is with us, then why are our people losing their homes? If God is with us, then where have you been? Then Gideon says, this mighty man of valor whom God has called, Gideon says at the end of verse 13, if God is for us, then why has he abandoned us? Well, we've said that God has called his people for these times. He's calling you to come out of the shadows for these times. We've said that God has chosen his people for these times. Before you arrived, God has chosen you for these times. And finally, God has prepared his people for these times. Gideon, for all intent and purposes, Gideon has gone off on God. He has let God have it. Why is this happening to us? Where are all those miracles? You have abandoned us and left us to the enemy. But notice God's response there in verse 14. God doesn't go back at Gideon. God doesn't chastise Gideon. God doesn't punish or discipline or judge Gideon. God looked upon Gideon and said to him, "Take all of that energy, take all of that indignation, take all of that determination, take all of that force, take all of that and go and save your people. That's what I'm sending you to do. It's what I've prepared you to do." Somebody, Gideon's moment is now your moment. His times are now your times. The enemy has been cruel and unrelenting. You've seen it. You've even experienced it. Our communities are ravaged with hopelessness, with suffering, with injustice, with inequality. Those in high places are making things better for other people in high places. Funds that are supposedly set aside for the poor somehow keep ending up in the hands of the rich. It seems as if no one cares at all for the marginalized, the cast aside, the broken. You're angry, you're frustrated, you're disappointed, disillusioned, and sad. Where is God, you ask? He's been preparing you for these times. He's calling you, come out of the shadows. He's chosen you for such a time as this. Now take all that determination, take all of that spirit, that zeal, that fervor, that pent-up energy. Take it all, get up, go out, and save your people. It's your time. Perhaps you've been moved today. Perhaps when I say it is your time, that calls something on the inside to spring up in anticipation. Perhaps you're ready to answer the call, but what do I do? What do I say? Well, if they're hungry, you feed them. If they're cold, you clothe them. If they're sick, you care for them. If they've been treated unfairly, you speak up for them. If they're heartbroken, you comfort them. And then you tell them, God has heard your cry, and he has already sent the deliverer. You tell them that God so loved the world, he so loved you, that he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus died, sacrificed his life to deliver you from sin and from death. And we can have hope because early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up and defeated death forever. All we're saying is God has prepared a place for you when this life is over. Trust in God. Trust in his son, Jesus Christ. Trust in Calvary. Trust in the resurrection. And God has promised you shall have eternal life. Somebody, he's calling you today. It's your time. Amen. 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 And God.
And all the people of God say it. Amen. The church is standing. You already prepared. All you need to do is say, here am I. Send me. Did not the preacher preach? Did not the preacher preach? Choir singing.
Oh, Lord, fix me.
Fix me.
One thing
that
I've done wrong.
Let's hear it.
Fix me, Jesus. Fix me. I've stayed a sinner just a little bit, just a little bit too long.
Thank God for using Reverend Jackson today.
to share with us the spoken word. It's good to see Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln Holloway in church. We've been praying for you. We're glad that you're here sharing with us in worship today. As you go praying for Waco Porter and his family, and for Frank Riley. Frank Riley is presently in the hospital. Our prayers are with him and for him. Fix me. Fix me.
Fix me, Jesus. Fix me.
And now, my brothers and sisters, may the grace of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. I wonder if I could get you to go out singing today, walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come on, help us, Sister Lee. Come on, let's have it. Deacons and trustees.